Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, we thank you for the privilege, the opportunity, and the awesome presence that you have bestowed on us. And that, Lord, that we have the chance to come to you in prayer, right out in public, gathered together in your name, Lord, and that you, our perfect, holy, loving Creator and God, would hear us. Thank you for hearing us, and thank you for answering us in perfect love and timing and will, which only belongs to you. God, as we gather together on this holiday weekend and we have the day off tomorrow, Lord, we just thank you at this time for those that have gone before us, those who have died, paid the ultimate price, that we would have the freedom to worship you in this country, to proclaim your name, and to come to you in prayer. Thank you for the price that they paid and your Holy Spirit that guided them. Lord, we also want to take this opportunity to praise you and thank you that Jesus, he too died for our freedom. May every day be a memorial to the penalty he paid on the cross at Calvary. And may we recognize just how precious a gift that is. Lord, as we've gathered here today, we ask that you would join us, that you would speak to our hearts, and that it would bear fruit. God, it only has power if you make it so. So we call upon you in faith and trust at this time as we open up your word. Thank you for what you've done, and thank you for what you're going to do. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. Probably wondering why the lights are off. We'll get to that momentarily. And I promise I'll explain it. Few announcements at this point. Let's see here. Wednesday night, we've got our Awana Awards Night, annual event where we get together. That's at 6:45. And all these Awana clubs, we've got little Puggles and Cubbies and Sparks and Truth and Training clubs. And they've been learning Bible verses for a year now. And they've been learning about Bible stories. And they've been participating in projects and that sort of thing. And they want to share with you, our church family, what all they've been doing. And it's just amazing to see how many Bible verses they can receive. And they can probably out to, or no doubt about, so a lot of them can out to recite your pastor and many of us, and we just want to celebrate that with them, and they always prepare something to bless us as a church with, to teach us a lesson, to show us a blessing in the glory of God. And if you were here last year, you know it was really, really good, and I was here watching them practice on Wednesday night a little bit, and I have to say they have outdone themselves as always. So this Wednesday night's our Awana Awards night. Please come out and encourage and participate in that for the kids' sake. Also, don't forget, we've got several mission trips coming up. In just a couple or 3 weeks, we've got a group leaving to go to Charleston, South Carolina, mostly middle schoolers, but some high schoolers as well, and some adults. But they're going to be going to Charleston, South Carolina on a mission trip there, and they're going to be helping those that are in need, doing some service projects and that sort of thing. Please be in prayer for that. And just about a day and a half after they get back, we've got 20 people leaving to go to Juana Diaz, Puerto Rico for a week there, and they're going to spend some time repairing some homes, sometimes painting maybe an orphanage or a food bank. They're going to spend some time sharing the gospel with children as they play soccer or whatever the case may be with them. They're going to spend some time just loving on the people in need down there in the poor sections of Puerto Rico. So remember that. Also, don't forget, we've got a group going to what they call Triangle Children's Camp or Kids Camp. That's in Lewisburg. There's a sign-up sheet if you've got one below youth age. There's a sign-up sheet for that out on the board. That's coming up in July. It's just outside of Raleigh, and they're going to get them together, and they're going to teach them and encourage them and show them God's will for their lives. That's coming up in July as well. And then Vacation Bible School is also in the month of July, where we'll come together for a week, and that's our biggest single evangelistic event of the year, and it always brings salvation, and we just need to be in prayer for that, in participation for that. There's several openings and things that will need to be done for that outreach event this coming July, and there's a sign-up sheet out in the vestibule for that. Now, all this bears two questions. Number one, why am I reading the announcements now at the beginning of the sermon? The second is, preacher, why in the world are the lights turned off? We'll answer the first question first. All these things that we see that's in our announcements, in the bulletin each week, and the trips that we're going on, and as we embark on the summer activities, all these things are part of God's design for us as a biblical church, all right? As a biblical church, one that is prescribed and designed and outlined in the Bible, in the Scriptures, not a social club with a religious theme, not a church that's based just on traditions, but a church that is based on the Holy Scriptures of God. All of these things are part of what we do. We are to gather together in God's name and pray. We are to gather together in God's name and praise His name and worship Him. We're to gather together in fellowship like we do so often. We're to gather together and hear a message on God's Word and learn from teachers and those that can edify us and bring us up in the Lord. We're to gather together and do all these things, but we're also to gather together and do these missional works, these things that we spend our summers doing as a biblical church. In order to be a biblical church, we have to know, we have to grow, and we have to go. If we as a church do not do all of these things, then we are not living according to God's design and God's plan. Listen to me, let's personalize it for just a second. If my family, or me as an individual, am not doing all these things, knowing, growing, and going, then I am not living according to God's design for my life. I am not living according to God's plan for my life. And in both the church's case and the family and the individual's case, if I'm not doing all these things, then I am missing out on God's power in my life. Now, we want God's power on our lives, amen? We want God's power on our children, amen? On our families and our homes. That is why we do what we do. That is why we need to know, grow, and go. All these things that we've listed here this morning, as far as announcements, the things that are coming up, every single one of us here today is called by God to play some role in all these things. We all share, every one of us share a financial role in what goes on. Every single one of us here today share a participation role and a preparation role in what goes on. And we all have a role, not because, listen to me, not because we go to church here and it's expected, but because of something much bigger than that. We all have these roles because we are followers of Jesus Christ. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have an obligation to know, grow, and go, listen to me, because God is that important to us. Because God is that important to us. His purpose is that important to us. His plan is that important to us. His glory is that important to us. And His salvation for those who otherwise would not know eternal life is that important to us. That's why we all have a role in doing all these things. Second question, why are the lights off? Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus was talking. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Every single one of us has the light. And unless we go out and do these things, We're not letting it shine. We say, "Preacher, we got lights. Why don't you use them?" All right, turn them on, Dale. And now everybody squint. unless I'm willing to share what God has done for me, then I'm not shining my light. I've got something that God has given me, and it makes no sense not to use it like it was given to me for. Now, given that we're about to embark on our season of going out and doing missions, that school is over now and Memorial Day is upon us, and it's summer officially, though you can hardly tell it in the last couple of days, a little on the chilly side, if you ask me. But it's that time of year. I'm going to take a little break for about 4 weeks from as we walk through the life of Jacob, and we're going to take a break, and in preparation for all that we're going to do this summer, in Jesus' name, we're going to study the second chapter of Philippians. So I invite you to turn with me, please, to Philippians chapter 2 this morning. As we look at the fact that you and I have a light, we have a purpose, and we have a role, so let's use them. Let's use that role. Philippians chapter 2 is where we'll read from, and I'm just going to read 4 verses this morning. And we'll go from there. Beginning in verse 1, Philippians chapter 2. This is what Paul writes. Listen. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Here's what Paul is saying to me this morning. If you're a Christian, listen very carefully, all right? He is saying, he's writing to the Christians, the church in Philippi. He's saying, if you are a Christian, if you are saved, number one, be encouraged. Be encouraged. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, why should we be encouraged? Let me tell you something this morning. Jesus is awesome, amen? Okay? He's perfect. He's holy. He's special. He's divine. He's worthy. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-loving. And you are united with Him. That's an awesome thing. That's some pretty good company. Matter of fact, that's some really perfect company. You are united with Him. More in that. And that is He wanted to and made Himself available to be united with you. I remember was picking up teams out on the play yard to play football or baseball or something like that when I was a boy. And, you know, there was always a group that would pick you last. It was kind of hard on you. But you got to understand, Jesus picked you to be on His team. And He picked you first. And that ought to be encouraging to you. Amen? Be encouraged that this awesome, perfect, all-powerful, all-loving God in the flesh wants to be united with you. Good company. Mama said, be careful who you hang out with, who you make friends with, who you spend your time with. Jesus wants to be united with you. That's encouragement. The second thing Paul tells us here, if you are saved, if you're a Christian, be comforted. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, let me tell you something this morning. We have reason to have comfort in Christ. Every single one of us in this room has sinned. Every single one of us. Today, probably. Every single one of us. And the Bible says the penalty for that sin is death. Now, we create the picture that Jesus used, and it's easy for us to wrap our mind around a lake of fire. But it goes worse than that. It's actually worse than burning forever. Death is eternal separation from life, which is only found in God. Let me tell you something this morning. If there's anything in this world that gives you happiness, that gives you joy, that gives you comfort, that gives you rest, will be the smile of your own children or grandchildren, whether it be your favorite chair, whether it be ice cream, whether it be just a time when your mind can rest, you will be absent from that for eternity. Anything that gives you any comfort at all because you've sinned, if you've not been forgiven, you will be kept away from that, you will not be allowed to touch that the rest of eternity. Every good thing that you've ever known, you will never know again. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. See, He went and took the penalty for your sins and mine. And now we're spared the payment, the eternal payment for what we've done wrong. Not only that, but we get to spend eternity with Him. And He is the source of all good things and much better things than we've ever known so far. A comfort in that. That ought to be comforting to us to know that that's where we're headed. Amen? That ought to be comforting. If you have any reason to be encouraged, if you have any comfort, he says, he also says, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if we're a Christian today, Paul tells us to live by the Spirit. God has given us, He's provided us with His Holy Spirit by which to live. He's our guide, He's our counselor, He's our advisor, He's our director, He's our supervisor, our navigator in this life. God did not just save you, all right, and then leave you here in this awful, terrible, sinful world, and that's what it is, to fend for yourself as a stranger in a foreign land until you're called to your eternal home in heaven. No, He has given you His Spirit to help you and to lead you. So take advantage of that. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in this life. The fourth thing that He tells us, if you have any encouragement, any comfort, any fellowship in His Spirit, He says any tenderness and compassion. If you are saved, the Bible tells us here to be compassionate. Be compassionate of others. They're lost. They're doomed. There are people all around you every day, maybe across the street, maybe down the hall at work, maybe somebody that you pump gas next to semi-frequently. There's people all around you that are absolutely lost and headed for that eternal punishment in hell. Some of them have no idea, none, no idea that they're lost. Worse yet, some of them think they're saved and they're not. Bible says, have compassion on them. Have compassion on them. They need to be saved. They need to know that God loves them. Every single one of them. It's a pity. It's a shame. It's sorrowful. I'm going to share a story in slight anonymity because it was shared a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. But there was a one in our midst, in our fellowship, in our family, that upon the bombings in Boston a few weeks ago, was praying that night after it happened. And not at this point for those that had their legs blown off, the families that had lost a child, certainly not just that, but praying, listen to me, for the people that did it. Have no comfort. They have no compassion. They have no encouragement. What a shame, because it's readily available to anybody that wants it. Now listen to me. I doubt that anybody here lives on the same cul-de-sac as a terrorist. But a lot of us live with, work with, and know people that are headed for the exact same fate. It ought not be that way. It ought not be that way. The Bible tells us to have compassion. Now I'm going to read this scripture several times, pieces of it at least, as we work our way through it here in just a few minutes. Paul said, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one and spirit and purpose. He's saying, if you have any encouragement, if you from being united in Christ, how could you not? If you have any comfort from His love, how could you not have comfort from His love? If you have any fellowship with the Spirit, if you're saved, of course you do. Any tenderness and compassion? It's a rhetorical question. Of course you and I have comfort. Of course you and I have encouragement. Of course we have fellowship with the Spirit. Christ does comfort us. He does encourage us. He did give us His Spirit, and He was compassionate and tender with you and I. We didn't deserve it. No, we didn't deserve it. Every single one of us deserved death and hell. But He, in His infinite love, had compassion on you and I. So then we've got an if-then statement. If you have these things, He says, then. We've concluded there's no question about the if. So what then is the then that we should do? How do we proceed? How do we respond according to God's Word to the encouragement of Jesus Christ, to the comfort of Jesus Christ, to the Spirit gift of Jesus Christ, and to the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ? By doing the exact same thing, the Bible says. If you have all these, verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. What it's saying is, what Christ has done for you, do for others. Do the same thing. Christ encourages you, encourage people. Christ comforts you, be comforting. Christ has poured His Spirit out on you, pour your Spirit out on those around you. Christ has shown you compassion, show compassion to others. Do all these things for those around you. Listen to me. This right here is the why to the what in the bulletin every week. All of the announcements, and here's what we're doing this week, and here's what we're doing that week, and the Puerto Rico team's going to spread some mulch and do some other things this coming Saturday, and there's all these things going on. This is the why. This is why we're going to Charleston, to be encouraging, to give comfort, to pour out the Spirit, and to show compassion. This is why we're going to Puerto Rico, to be encouraging, to give comfort, to show compassion, to pour out the Spirit. This is why we're having Vacation Bible School, to be encouraging, to provide comfort, to pour out the Spirit, to show compassion. We do all these things because Jesus Christ did all these things for you and me. That's the why. All these things that we talk about are the application of the Scripture. We know what it says, and we're growing in our understanding of it right now, hopefully. So let us go and do these things in response to that. Let us go do Puerto Rico in response to Christ's love for us. Let us go perform VBS in response to Christ's compassion on us. Let us go work with Awanas in response to Christ's encouragement on us. I've said it many times, the why matters more than the what. Our goal is not just to have a mission trip. All right? We go every year, we go somewhere, two or three places, and let me tell you something, if we were to just not have all that on the schedule this summer, all right, let's say we weren't going into these places and we weren't going to have Vacation Bible School this summer. Many of you would be calling me up or coming by and saying, Pastor, what is this church coming to? What do you mean? We're Baptist, we're missional, we're evangelistic. What do you mean we're not doing any mission work? What do you mean we're not having Vacation Bible School? We'd be doing it, but our goal is not just to simply have it. We're not sending all the teenagers to some cool, exotic place that they've never seen before. So they'll have a nice trip, and maybe we'll get rid of them for a week while they're gone. Okay? We'll have a little, I see a few moms raising some eyebrows. No, that's not what we're doing. We're not having Vacation Bible School just so the kids will have fun and have a good time. We want them to do that. We want them to have a good time. But we're not doing it just so that we've checked that off our list along with the mission trip and we've fulfilled our obligation to try. Listen to me. This is what the passage says to you and me this morning. Our goal is to live out our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. Some claim to have the relationship to know. But if there's no growing, then it's not alive. And if there's no going, then there is no fruit. Jesus said it is by their fruit that you'll recognize them. Not their words, not their claims, not their attendance, but by their fruit. So our goal is to bear fruit in all of these things. To see it flower and bloom and make fruit, and listen to me, make a difference in people's lives. Make a difference in our community. Make a difference in our church. So let us prepare in such a way that we, you know what, the goal is not just to get this done, but to bear fruit in it. Let us pray as we prepare and do, not for just get me through this or help us to execute this, but that we would be bear fruit. Let us be motivated to make our efforts fruitful, not just going through the motions. Let us work together toward one, the one thing that absolutely matters the most. Last summer, we sent a group to Honduras. Several teenagers, several adults, and got together for a commissioning service here one Wednesday night, and I was talking to the group, and I let them know that, you know what, I was a little envious of them, and I'd been on trips like this before and got to do God's work and all these sort of things, and I was envious of them going, and for a lot of reasons, because it's always, you always come back just really just on fire, and you always see God in ways you never have before. But I told them, those that were going to Honduras, that because of where they were going and the why they were going there, I told them that they were going to get to see, listen to me, just how big God is. He's bigger than our culture. He's bigger than our society. He's bigger than the English language. Listen to me, you know how hard it is for some people to wrap their minds around that simple fact? That the God we talk about, the God we sing to, the God we praise, is bigger than my language. He's bigger than our worship style. He's bigger than the way we build our churches with two rows of pews and lights and a pulpit. He's bigger than that. He's a lot bigger than that. And to find that out, to discover just how much bigger God is than what I've ever seen, that He's so much bigger than our Surrey County, Patrick County, Stokes County, Forsyth County version of God, that He's so much bigger and more awesome than that. To discover that as a teenager, well, that made me envious. I wish I had. God's a lot bigger than we make Him out to be. He's overcome this world. He's overcome those consequences of sin. And He's even overcome death. That God, that big God, told us, I'm sending you out to be my witnesses all over. So here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to take away this morning. As of right now, every single one of us, you can hear my voice if you're sitting in this room, if you're listening to the podcast later on, you are being sent. You are being sent to shine that light, to show that encouragement, to give that comfort, to pour out that spirit, to show that compassion. You're being sent. Some of us are being sent to Charleston to do those things. Some of us are being sent to Puerto Rico to do those things. Some of us are being sent to lead a class or herd the little tricycle motors through Vacation Bible School for a week. That's so much fun, okay? Some of us are being sent to teach Sunday school. Some of us are being sent to children's camp to be encouraging, to show comfort, to give compassion, all these things. Listen to me. All of us are being sent to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody we know. Or maybe somebody you don't know. Every single one of us. Every single one of us is being sent to invite somebody to come to church. All of us. Listen. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. All of us, every single one of us who have these things are being sent into action for Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to give you a start. Here's how we're going to kick it off. Here's how we're going to do it. I ordered some of these. It was a fantastic idea, but I got about 500 of these left, maybe a few more than that, six or seven. But it's a business card. It's not a business card as such. It's called a business card because that's what it's called, but it's not for business. All right? It says on the front, you're invited to worship with us. It shows some worship times and that sort of thing and all this. And it's basically just a nice little way to extend an invitation to somebody. Here's what I want you to do. All right, here's what I want you to do. When you go out today, I'm going to hand everybody one or two or three of these. If you say, preacher, I need five, I'm going to give you five. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out to eat. And when you go out to eat here locally somewhere, it can be Tlaki Paki Pilot, it can be at Ruby Tuesday's or Chili's, and you can go to Gondolas there in Mountain. Boy, that's good. It looks slow, but man, it is some good food. I'll tell you. Anyway, go out to eat. And when the meal's done and they bring you the check, leave a tip. Y'all hear me on that now, right? Okay? Leave a tip. Right? Don't do like a good friend of mine who's in the restaurant business tells me he's been managing restaurants for a long time, and he says, man, I can't get people to work on Sunday afternoon. You want to know why? Because all the church crowd comes in and none of them leave tips. I said, well, I can explain that. That's because they think they've done their good deed for today. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about people in Winston, okay? But leave a tip. And a good one. Not a dollar. All right? Don't do like my grandpa used to do and just leave $1. All right? Don't do that. Leave nothing before you leave $1. That's an insult. Figure out what a good tip is and then do this. Add to it. Dollar or two. Couple of dollars. Well, preacher, I don't know if I can afford all that. Listen to me. Here's what I'm going to wager. I'm going to bet you if you do this in Jesus' name that those $2 or whatever, $3, $4, they'll find their way right back in your pocket. That God will bless that effort. It's how He does things. The Bible teaches it. All right? Not me sticking my neck out. It's just what you learn if you read the Bible. All right? What I'm saying is when you get that credit card slip, add a little bit more to the tip, enough that they notice, whoa, that's, you know. Don't blow them away. Don't leave them like $1,000. Well, do that if you want. But listen to me. The point is, when they notice, hey, they left a really good tip. I've waited tables before. You notice. And along with that, right there on that slip or on the back of this card, we appreciate you. And leave that card with it. And all you've done is encourage that person. All you've done is give that person some comfort and some compassion as led by the Spirit. Real simple way. You've got a light. Turn it on, for crying out loud. Turn it on. We appreciate you. Right there. You know what I envision? I envision waitresses and waiters huddling up over by the... They don't have cash registers anymore necessarily, but they go, did you get one of these? Yeah, I got one of those today. You know, those people, Cornerstone, that's just what they do. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. That's what I'd like to see happen. So I'm going to have those when you go out today. That's how we're going to kick off our outreach and missions for this summer. Last time, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let us be unified by what binds us together. The common plan, the common purpose, that is to glorify God. No preferences that are just mine, no plans that are just my own, no conditions under which I am willing to serve or will not do this sort of thing. Let us be unconditional. In other words, we're saying, you know what? No matter what, I am all in for the glory of God and the salvation of the lost because God matters that much to me. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your encouragement. We don't deserve your presence in our lives. We don't deserve your mercy. We certainly didn't deserve Jesus going to the cross and paying the penalty of his blood for what we've done. But thank you so much for the comfort we get from knowing that you loved us enough to extend your hand out to us. Lord, we thank you for the gift and the power of your Holy Spirit that is here to guide us. Help us to recognize that and live by Him. Finally, Lord, you have been so tender and compassionate with us. Lord, may we extend that same tenderness and compassion to everyone that we encounter. Nothing we've ever done, nothing we've ever been, nothing we are or ever will be, nothing we ever will do will matter unless you touch it, unless you bless it, and unless you will it. Lord, may our lives make a difference. May people look at the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we worship, and recognize that we shine our light for you and that you are owed everything that we are. Thank you so much for what you're going to do in Christ's precious name.